Well, of course, everybody wants to get out. Everybody wants to get out and enjoy some time off, and they want to go camping, and they want to hang out. However, Cat Island may or may not be the best place to go camping right now. On the phone with us this morning, Julie Van Stappen, and she is with the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Hey, Julie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Glad to have you along with us.
Well, thank you.
Now, the photographer in me thinks that this would just be the coolest thing ever, but luckily the photographer in me is restrained frequently by the grown-up and the person that tries to obey laws. Cat Island is closed because you've got a bear that's hanging out, and he's not really afraid of humans. Is that the case?
That is the case. And it's a really tough place to make a living to be a bear, period. And then on Cat Island in particular, there isn't a lot of good food. Bears move around in the islands. There's some islands that have actual populations and some that have just transient bears. On Cat Island, we do have a larger carnivore project, and we picked up a bear there last fall. Could be the same one, may not be. But this time of year, there's young bears that are kind of getting kicked out by their parents, usually the young males.
And they say, you've been in the basement too long.
Mom's basically saying, hey, time to leave. You know, we've got to get rolling because it's still breeding season and the young bears can get in a tangle with the larger ones. So we haven't really identified this particular one. We've got another camera out to see if we can capture it. But as I said, we had a picture from one last fall. So on Cat Island, it's a really dense island, a lot of Canada yew, really a lot of just very, very thick forest. And bears really need grubs and they need grass and berries and things like that. So it's an even tougher place to make a living. In this situation, it was Camp Amnicon, and they did the right things. When the bear came in, they tried to make themselves look big. They yelled and made noise, and this bear must have been, I'm not sure if they had gotten into food before or not, but it was probably a pretty hungry bear. And bear problems most often are people problems, too. You know, the big thing is, as I mentioned, it's hard for bears to make a living, and they're always looking for food. And so the critical thing is for food to be stored and not available to bears, because once they get in it, they see an easy meal, and then it's much tougher.
Well, who doesn't like s'mores? I mean,
exactly.
Seriously, if you had s'mores and then somebody locked it all away and said, no, you can't have any more s'mores, would you really go for that? When you talked about capturing the bear a moment ago, and what you meant, I gathered, was to capture the bear on
a picture
of the bear.
Exactly.
There was a time when the solution would have been shoot the bear. And not with a camera either. And then there was another time where the solution would have been shoot the bear with a tranquilizer dart, like on, National Geographic, and move the bear someplace else. Instead, it's interesting that you've elected to just say, no, we're just going to close this particular camp area. We're going to close the island, close an area here for the time being, until the bear moves on. What's the thing? Are we evolving with the way we think about some of these wild animal-human interactions?
We are, and we're not just leaving it. We're going to try to do active deterrence and basically encourage that bear to stay away from the campsite. So what we have evolved to, I guess, is similar thinking to a lot of other places. We did try when we had problem bears to capture them and move them to other locations, and it really doesn't work. They tend to come back, or they tend to, especially if it's near hunting season, they tend to get in trouble wherever they go and they're taken out of their territory. So what we found is more effective is if we have a problem bear is we try to, we close that area so it allows us to do some deterrence. So if we can see that bear, we've got all kinds of options. And one of them is something, we're looking at things that aren't natural in their environment. And so it kind of scares them but doesn't hurt them. So there's things that make noise, that twirl, that kind of bang, in addition to something like rubber bullets. And so if they're in their natural environment, that's where they should be. That's where they live. But if they're in a campsite, near a dock, near a visitor use area, we want to teach them to not be in that area.
One of the other things that they've had a lot of success with in some areas are, and of course I'm fascinated by this, Karelian bear dogs. Because apparently bears are not really fond of dogs. And there are dogs that are have been bred over time to scare bears away, not to fight with them, to just scare them away.
Yes, I have heard of them. And we actually, a number of years ago, we had a lot of problems on Stockton, and we consider that the logistics were a little bit difficult. But you know what we really found works well is visitors keeping their food put away and not leaving that out. So if we can keep that food away from the bears, it does wonders. And our volunteers and our interpretive staff have done a fabulous job of informing the public of that. This was, I think, in some ways maybe a bit of an unusual situation, and there's one campsite, and there's, you know, as I said, the habitat is far from ideal.
Well, what a great idea that the fix is so comparatively simple, because you kind of want to do that sort of thing anyway. I mean, raccoons aren't maybe as scary as bears, but they can sure make some trouble once they get their little hands in the, you know, in the cooler, for example.
Right, and to make it easier for folks, we have bear lockers at every one of our established campsites. So they're fairly big lockers that you can fit your food, your water, anything that has any type of odor can potentially attract a bear. And to make sure that people don't bring food into their tent, that's pretty important too. Or if their clothes are really smelly, you know, if they have a lot of food odor on them, you know, changing those clothes before they hop in their tent is a really good idea as well.
All right. Not a bad plan. So if folks want to get some more information, you're going to be evaluating the closure on a weekly basis. And as soon as you figure out that, it looks like it's safe for folks to come back, you're going to let people know. What's the best way for potential campers, hikers, picnickers, whatever, to stay up to speed on the bear situation?
Well, they can. We will post that on Facebook. We'll also put out a press release, and they can, of course, always call park headquarters.
All right. And so on Facebook, you look for the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore?
Yep.
All right. And we'll get a link set up on our webpage so it will be even easier to find. Julie, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Julie Van Stappen with the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Having a little bit of a challenge with a young bear who's been kicked out of his home by his parents. He's trying to find something to eat, but they're suggesting that campsite's not the best place for him to do the looking.